video games were made to be played. Don't play yours? We know some people who will. We are Get Well Gamers, a charity who take your unwanted video games and consoles to give to children's hospitals and wards across the UK. Donating is super easy. Just head over to our website, getwellgamers.org.uk, to fill out our online donation form. You've played the hero, now be the hero.
Welcome to a new episode of the Pure Dead Gaming Podcast. I'm Jess and I have with me Craig and Andy. Hi team.
Buenas noches.
Hello.
We are a Scottish gaming podcast, just to clarify with those accents.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, so on the show this week, we're going to discuss the latest releases. I have lots to say about Dragon's Dogma 2. We have news on a new Marvel game. Discussion on WWE 2K24. We can't seem to avoid talking about wrestling, which I'm not.
No. Why would you want to?
A fan of, but anyway.
WrestleMania season.
We'll get some cooking in there as well, some food talk.
Oh, of course. We're also going to discuss our movie of the week. Thanks, Squinny, for Meth Gator. I think it's got a
Attack
full
of
title.
The Meth Gator.
Attack of the Meth Gator. There you go. Don't worry if you've not seen it. All will be discussed, so you don't have to put yourself through it, quite frankly. Andy. Going to start with you. You have aged in the past week.
Yep.
How was that?
Great. Had a great time. I went go-karting. It was amazing
fun. Did you win?
Of course I won. The whole day I won. It's my birthday.
Of course, yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Everyone has to leave late, you win, you know.
Well, I didn't. Nobody let me win. I won because I'm the best.
And this was your 40th birthday, yeah?
This is my 39th.
Right, okay.
Just to clarify.
So you're now in the last
this
year.
This is now my last year in my 30s, so we can have that conversation now if you want.
Because if you...
I'm glad you're now clear on that.
Yeah, if long-term listeners might remember, Andy thought that he was turning 40, but in actual fact, no, he was not.
He gained a year.
Yeah.
So that was good. So a wee bit more depressing this year, because now I know my real age. But I went bowling. Love bowling. Me and Heather go bowling all the time. Won that. Played some pool, not played pool in years, won that. Then we went go-karting and it was so much fun. It's honestly great fun. I really want to go back and do it again. Won that.
I thought he was blanking that.
but Heather was actually really, really good at it, because we're only like a second apart in our lap times, because they give you lap times and stuff like that.
Either that or you were really shite and still won.
No, that was good. Although there was folk, because there's people that do it in their in like the clubs and stuff like that, and they obviously go all the time, and that's because we were like, I think I was like 45 seconds, Heather was 46, but there's people doing like 40 second laps, which doesn't seem like 5 seconds. It's like, that's not a lot of time, but in the racing, that's a lot of time, you know what I mean? I was like, how are they doing that? It's fucking mental.
Where could I make up those 5 seconds?
Yeah, honestly don't know how you could go in any faster. I generally don't know how, but it's just because you're drifting the way that they're designed. You drift around the corners like a fucking computer game. It's just so much fun doing it. But the last session, I happened to get right behind Heather, and then she... She didn't realise I was behind her, but she soon found out. But I banged it at one point.
That's your usual sneak attack.
Then she noticed it was my number in the car, and she seen me. And then, she knew I was right behind her, chasing her. I was right, behind her, but she was defending, no let me pass. And I was like,
that's
fucker.
That's skill, to be fair. Yeah. We also went bowling this week.
We did.
Funnily enough,
bowling.
I thought this was going to be brought up under different circumstances, because Jess was definitely writing a victory speech the whole
did
way
you
through
win?
This. Did
well,
she fuck?
No.
I still can't comprehend the math, I'm not going to lie. Right,
I knocked one down one more pin than you.
Fuck off. I'm winning the whole way, right? Getting strikes, I'm getting half strikes, really good scores, right? Then he catches up, he keeps getting nines, and then I think you got a few halves to catch up towards the end. Going into the 10th shot, I guess a strike. delighted brilliant. With myself. So obviously get another wee shot just to get the points, right?
Yeah.
Brilliant. I've won the game. Craig takes this shot. First goal, not so good. Second shot, gets a half strike.
Mm.
Somehow he comes out victorious. We had the exact same points at the beginning of round 10. And I don't
see what happens is in your last shot, nothing gets doubled. Like, you know how if during the middle of a game, if you get a strike, then your next two shots, you'll get double. And if you get a half strike, your next shot, first shot's doubled. You didn't know this. I thought you played bowling all the time. Fucking hell.
I didn't know this.
Did you know it?
Doubling.
So if you get a strike, right? See, your next shot, whatever you knock down, you'll get twice as much for whatever you knock down.
Really?
On both shots. And if you get a half strike on your next shot, whatever you knock down on the first shot gets doubled. But on the 10th shot, on your last one, it doesn't. So what happened was Jess got a strike.
Aye, because you just get to keep... Aye. Like another shot.
Aye, so Jess got a strike, which she only get 10 for, and then the next shot she knocked down 8, because if you get a strike, you get another shot.
Mm.
And I got a 7 and a 3, because it was a half strike, I did get another shot, and with that shot I knocked down 9 instead of 8. And won by 1 point.
Right, got you.
And outraged.
Her face was
outraged.
Fucking brilliant. I don't even care if it won, but that face.
Me neither, but it was just the principle of it all.
Yeah. But yeah, so it has been your birthday this week, but my question is, a couple of weeks ago, Jess made cookies. A couple of weeks ago, I made cookies. So what have you brought for us this week?
Nothing. I bring the cheer. I bring the vibes. I should be getting treated. It's my birthday.
He does have a point, to be fair.
No, you should be dishing out these cookies again.
Right, well, I do have something.
Do you actually? Mm.
I've got a little twist on Scottish flavour for us.
Right. Something to do with haggis.
This is what I've acquired. Raspberry Ripple Iron Brew.
I think I've tried
Raspberry Ripple Iron Brew.
If you'd like to try it.
Could you maybe not have presented this before? I just opened a can.
Limited edition, apparently.
Brewed in Scotland.
I've been doing a lot of travelling this week, so I've listened to a lot of podcasts, and somebody brought it up on a podcast, and I don't remember who, or I'd give them credit, but I was like, we need to try that. I like Raspberry Ripples, and I like Iron Brew.
I do like Raspberry Ripple ice cream, definitely.
Yeah. How does it have 0 grams of sugar in it? That's got to be a lie.
It'd certainly be difficult.
Extra taste, no sugar. Brewed in Scotland.
I don't know how a Raspberry Ripple can have no sugar in it.
Oh, it's good. It tastes like ice cream. It tastes like a Raspberry Ripple ice cream, doesn't it?
Mm. Holy fuck, it does.
But like a proper one from an ice cream van, like, well... I quite like it.
It does actually taste like a Raspberry Ripple. Usually it's like...
The aftertaste. Like when once you've swallowed and it's like lingering in your mouth. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Absolute filth from you, Hallam.
Your mind. That's what's the filth. It's actually no bad.
The guy with the horn agrees.
It's actually alright, isn't it?
It is
for a novelty... Mm. Looking at one-off thing, it's better than I expected.
Why have they chosen that for a novelty thing? What's the significance?
I've absolutely no idea. I've no idea. It is a strange one. But when I saw it, I was like, I heard of it and then I saw it. And I was like, I do like Raspberry Ripple ice cream, so I need to try that.
Hmm.
There you go. Recommended from us.
If you can find it, it's probably sold. And where did I get it? Asda.
Hmm.
Other places are available.
Like if you try stuff like that and just get so hooked on it and then you're like, right, that's a wee.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, what the fuck, you know what I mean?
Aye, that's the downside about the limited edition stuff.
If you just like you fall in love with it and just go, oh, that's the best thing I've ever tasted in my life. And you just can't get it again.
I know. Mm. I remember the Body Shop did a like body butter cream and it was a limited edition one.
You're not supposed to eat that.
Or they discontinued it. I didn't eat it. But I remember it was like being discontinued or something and it was like 3 for a tenner or something like that. So I bought like as many as I was allowed to buy to stock up, even though these kind of things do have a shelf life and expiry date, but it was my
favorite. Many as you were allowed to buy. There was a guy, 3 per customer.
No, it was Glasgow Central train station. I remember because it was in a basket and I'm like, oh, I must buy them all. And I think I bought like 6. But yeah.
I don't believe in expiry dates for certain things though. Because I've got to put an expiry date on something. But some stuff you're fine with.
Creams and stuff like that can rip your face apart though if it's out of date.
Yeah, my dad had like a really bad allergic reaction to sun cream that was like two years old, maybe more actually, to be fair, I don't know how old it was, but yeah, so it's a thing.
What's the thing? The only thing that doesn't go off is, I think we said before, it was honey, isn't it? That's the only thing that technically doesn't ever go off. Honey, just where
really?
It is.
Sure it does.
No, it doesn't. It's just where it is.
You can
just alcohol eat that. Alcohol surely is the other thing that...
Alcohol and vinegar. You think vinegar wouldn't go off? You think
it's
vinegar
off,
would... You
off
think
before
vinegar
it starts.
Right?
It's off before it starts, pretty much, isn't it?
Okay, let's move on.
There we go. We've got a food chat in.
We did.
Managed that.
Oh, let's finish it up. Sorry, I went to... For something to eat, I went to a new place. What's it called? Bread Meets Bread.
Okay.
The burger joint.
Mm-hmm.
That was all right. I had like a pulled pork, barbecue glazed burger. Mm. Pretty nice. Mm. Heather asked me what's better though, Bread Meets Bread or Five Guys, and I was like, Five Guys.
I'd say love a Five Guys.
Can it be a Five Guys? I like just a standard burger. I don't like these burgers that are too... See, for a burger, for me, the rules of a burger, you should be able to eat it in one bite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a burger if you have to fucking like sit stuff out and then cut it with a knife. If you can't hold it in your hands and get everything in it with one bite, it's not a burger.
I agree with that. That's a fair point.
A lot of people would also say it's not a burger unless it has cheese in it.
Well, they're wrong.
Also a fair point, yes.
Wrong.
Andy, I've got some good news. I had this news last week, but I held it off in your absence. So, as you know, we are patiently waiting for Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But Variety they got the scoop that the filmmakers behind Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey have unveiled Pooniverse Monsters Assemble. And they're bringing together Pooh, Bambi, Tinkerbell, Pinocchio, Peter Pan, Tigger, Piglet, the Mad Hatter, and Sleeping Beauty for an IP bludgeoning frenzy due for release in 2025.
Oh my god.
I mean, the only disappointment there is it's 2025. That's a while to wait, isn't it?
It is a wee while to wait, but...
The Pooniverse, I do like what they've done there.
It's on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
So, and more good news, right? The second film, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, is out now. Now, I don't know yet if we'll be able to watch it next week. We're gonna leave it to the 11th hour in hopes that we can.
Or we can only pray.
Uh-huh. What's happened is it came out on Tuesday and it's having a 3-day cinema release. Presumably release. After that, it will go straight to...
the bin.
Delivery. Delivery state. So I'm hopeful we can get a hold of it. But what I would like to say, remember before there was like two random reviews, you know, like have these clearly hillbillies actually seen this or are they just putting down good reviews? Well, it definitely has been reviewed by more people now. It's sitting at a 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb.
Oh my god.
Right?
This franchise is building up steam.
Yep. And so, you know how at IMDb when you put, you write your review but you have like a sort of like a headline.
Yeah, your title.
Aye. So here's the headline so far. 8 out of 10, better than the original in every possible way.
Wow.
10 out of 10, beautiful, brutal, and solid Blood and Honey 2 delivers the blood and honey. 10 out of 10, worth the budget. 10 out of 10, complete upgrade from the first film. 9 out of 10, best horror sequel ever. 10 out of 10, they did it, it's brilliant. 9 out of 10, wow, wow, wow. 10 out of 10, this is the best movie I ever see.
No, it's not.
10 out of 10, great improvement. 10 out of 10, superior. And 9 out of 10, masterpiece of horror underground. That's every review that's on it so far.
You can't say shit like that's the best film I've ever seen.
Put
a caveat on it and go, this is the best film I've ever seen involving Winnie the Pooh or something.
I don't know how serious any of these are, but I'm very excited to find out.
Oh, God.
So I'm hopeful that we'll be able to have it in our possession by Friday.
Yeah.
Have we got a film for next week?
Well, hopefully Blood and Honey 2. If not, what would you like to put forward a reserve?
Yes, I would. Because the new remake of Roadhouse is out.
I've watched it.
Oh, right.
Have you not seen it yet?
No, I was going to watch it tonight.
I mean, we could review it next week if you want. It's very good.
Yeah, we could review that. Because did we not do the original?
No, we've not. We could do the original.
Oh, the original's fucking brilliant. I love it.
Well, I mean, Blood and Honey has top billing. If it's not available by Friday, we'll we will make another choice.
Okay. Okay.
If
you'll enjoy Roadhouse. I expected the remake to be poor because the first film's really good, but it's not as good.
If you don't follow us on our social channels, then please make sure you do so, and we will reveal what the film will be for next week, for the avoidance of doubt. We got a write-in from Ali last week who said, I started Lies of P recently, and while I'm enjoying the challenge, I feel like I may be missing out on stuff because I don't understand a lot of the pickups and things at my disposal. I feel like every 5 minutes I'm Googling something I pick up to see what it does. I know Andy and Craig were fans of the game. Am I an idiot or is this shit confusing?
No, I would agree with that. There's a lot of different items and things. There's just so many different things in the game, isn't there?
Aye. I think we spoke about it at the time.
Yeah, we did.
Really,
I mentioned
confusing.
That there's so many, like, halfway through the game, you start getting more like that Tree of Life thing, or whatever it was called. That's like halfway through the game. It just pops up. And you're like, what's this for now? And it's like you have so many other wee items that are not like essential, but you could use them technically. But the game is quite like that. It throws a lot at you, I think.
I find that with a lot of games. Like, I completed Lies of P and I couldn't tell you what any of that stuff does now. I couldn't name what the thing, what they call the health. You know those things you could, like, you got three of them. And then
Fabulous,
you end up getting
Fabulous
more.
Or something? I don't know. I can't even remember.
Catalyst. That was my game of the year last year. I couldn't tell you a single thing about that stuff. Well, like, even at the time, I was just like, oh, it's square to heal.
Yeah.
And as long as I know that, doesn't fucking matter. You know what I mean? And I find that with quite a lot of games these days, when I'm just like, I don't need to know why. I just need to know what it does.
Yeah.
And then I can compartmentalize that in my head. Because that's the thing, we play so many games these days and everybody's got a different word or different fucking mechanic. I'm just like, right, that does that, that's fine.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I couldn't even get by that boss at this scrapyard. That was me, I was fucked. I just deleted it. Because that's the downside of games that are so hard sometimes. Like, people will just get frustrated and move on.
Yeah.
Which is not what you want. Because you do want to give folk a challenge, but there's a line, I
think there should always be accessibility options so that
just so I can get fucking past it and then enjoy the rest of the game, because I would have loved to play the rest of the game, but I was just not spending any more time in that. I was getting bored.
There's too much gatekeeping. Like,
yeah, I'm not looking forward to
the
game.
It ruins the experience if it's not hard. Let folk play how they want to play.
But I'm not looking forward to playing the game at that point. I'm just dreading picking it up because I'm like, oh god, this boss. You know what I mean? I'm not looking for. You should be looking forward to picking it up and playing it.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I wasn't. I was at the point where I was like, I'm fed up with this now.
Having finished it, I can definitely say that if it was a little bit easier, it would not have ruined fucking anything. Like, if there was an easy mode, it would not have ruined anything.
Yeah, because I'm at a point in the new, because I'm playing Control again. I'm at a point, I think it's one of the DLC ones. It's kind of like integrated into the main game. And I'm stuck at a boss there. But at least that's get.
Aye.
I can put it down to easy.
Yeah,
to get by it
never had difficulty options at first, but they got added in.
Right, that's good.
Because there was a few bosses that were a pain in the hoop. Just one last thing on films, by the way. Do you know that apparently Scarlett Johansson is in talks to be the face of the new Jurassic Park trilogy?
Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah, a bit weird.
What are they kind of starting again or something?
They were supposed to be finishing now that they finished that latest trilogy, but they've decided that dinosaurs make a lot of money, so now they're going to make another one.
And
apparently she's going to be the face of it. But I do find it interesting that, like, obviously two of my favourite franchises ever are Jurassic Park and Home Alone, and she is obviously one of the faces of Home Alone, being the sister in Home Alone 3. And so it's interesting that she would be in both of my favourite franchises if this comes to fruition. Yeah, she was like 12 or 13. She was the sister in Home Alone 3.
All right. But that's not a real film, though, really.
I can assure you it's very real. You'll find out how real this
Home Alone really stopped Christmas, in 2, didn't it?
This Christmas when we do Home Alone 3.
Okay. Let's revert back to actual games now, Craig, and take a look at the biggest releases coming out in the next week. So it is a pretty light week of releases, it has to be said, but we'll take a look anyway because that's just what we do.
It is. And a light week of releases is an understatement.
A little bit, yeah. So if you want, you can kick things off with Deceit 2 coming out on April 2nd on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series and PC. So it's some sort of Millhaven Asylum in 1979. It's set. There's a ritual that goes horribly wrong, killing all but one member of a once prominent family. The case was left cold for decades until the fearless Truth Seekers Anonymous stepped in. And now you're imprisoned, forced to participate in the ritual of deceit at the hands of the
malevolent?
That is the word, can't say it. Game master. So it's a, wait for this, Andy, 6 to 9 player social deduction horror game where two among you have been infected. And whilst the infected do the game master's bidding, the innocent must work together to escape the ritual whilst deducing who is plotting against them. It's free to play, I should also add.
Sounds quite cool.
Deceit 2.
Deceit
2. I mean, I don't want to play with people, so I'm not going to play it. Nope. But I quite like the idea. It's almost like a kind of like Among Us type thing. But there's a lot of these sort of horror games where you're tasked with running for your life away from stuff. There was that one recently with a nun that was quite funny. There was like a killer nun that was chasing you. No, it was a different one than that. Nun Massacre was obviously very good as well. But yeah, there's a lot of these games where you just like run like fuck away from the baddie. But this doesn't look terrible, and it's free, so I don't know. For the one person that maybe doesn't have a backlog, might want to check it out.
Yeah. We've also got Saviourless coming April 2nd as well on PlayStation, Switch and PC. So this introduces an enthralling 2D platformer set against the backdrop of a dark fantasy world, distinguished by stylish aesthetics. The game boasts exquisite hand-drawn artwork and animations, enriching the visual narrative. So I think you play as Antar, who's a courageous child with aspirations of becoming a saviour, and your adventure leads you on a perilous quest to the Forbidden Smiling Islands. So it's a story-driven platformer that seems kind of, looks cool.
Yeah, but you kind of know what you're getting already, don't you?
Side-scrolling platformer. Looks all right, but kind of puzzle elements. Up York Street, probably, Jess. But
Have a backlog.
You do have a backlog, yeah. So maybe one to pick up down the line.
Yeah. And lastly, we have Anonymous Hacker Simulator on April 2nd as well on PC. So you can dive into an enthralling digital realm where each keystroke is a potential key to clandestine revelations. So you start your expedition from the seclusion of your concealed apartment, armed with a suite of authentic streamlined commands, including Nmap, Harvester, Aircrack, H-Ping, Burp, among others. Are these things that are meant to mean things to people?
Probably. Don't know what you're speaking Swahili right now.
As you probe further into the game's depth, you'll weave through a complex...
Vladimir Putin, and it's P-O-O-T-I-N. Putin.
Yeah, you weave through a complex tapestry of suspense, uncovering veiled facts and disentangling a conspiracy that stretches across the nation.
Eli Musk,
it said.
It looks like it could be quite entertaining, to be fair, this one, but I don't think the gameplay is going to offer much to the likes of me.
It feels like it's going to be... It's aimed at people that like to hack.
Should we be teaching people that?
We shouldn't. But also, it feels like... I don't know, people hack stuff because they like the outcome. And I feel like the outcome in a game's not going to be what they want.
I feel like folk do it because they like the danger of it, probably. Challenge.
There's no danger when it's a game.
No, that seems such a weird game.
There's not even trophies because it's in PC. Yeah.
You will get trophies, Craig, though, on the PS Plus Essential monthly games that have been confirmed by Sony, so you've got a trio of treats coming on the 2nd of April. So there's Immortals of Avium, Minecraft Legends, and Skull the Hero Slayer.
Okay. It's not a bad lineup. Not too bad. I think I've played Skull. I think that's like a 3D platformer where you are a skull, if I remember correctly. And you're just a head, and you've got to like run about. And
how do you run about if you're just a head?
You roll. I think the whole thing is you're a ball that like rolls.
So you're
about.
Rolling about. No, wrong.
You can jump and stuff. I can't quite remember. It was a while ago. It was, if it's the game I'm thinking of, it was actually all right.
I just want you to be accurate to our listeners here.
Right, sorry. You roll about and you jump. Are you happy?
Yes. Can I just make up shit?
No, that's a completely different game. So what I've said there is just utter nonsense.
Oh.
That's a 2D side scroller, so I know. What the fuck was I thinking of then?
I do remember the game that you're
look
thinking
up,
about.
Scully. Look up Scully. That's it. It was called Scully.
Scully, there you go.
It's not in PlayStation Plus, but get that. It was quite
that's not the game we're talking about. That's cool.
You roll about and you can jump with your face. Do you know what's coming out next month? What's and that? It's probably for avoidance. So I got an email through earlier asking if I wanted a code for this. It's not out for like a month. It's a Turtles game. I quite like the Turtles. And I thought, fucking never even knew there's a new Turtle game coming out. That sounds all right. It looks like if you ordered Turtles from Wish. I watched a trailer and I was like, nah, just maybe pass on
is
that.
Is it the proper license?
Yeah, but
it's been licensed.
I mean, that's it there.
Oh, yeah, it's a bit rough looking. That's okay. Yeah, that looks a bit dated, doesn't it?
It looks really, really strange. So it's a new game that's coming out. It's called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Wrath of the Mutants. And yeah, just nothing about it. I mean, it's co-op, obviously, because every game's co-op.
Oh, gimme.
Aye, but yeah, there was no part of it looked particularly good. So that's maybe one to avoid that we'll talk about in a few weeks.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much your lot for this week, but I'm sure you have lots to be playing, most people do at this moment in time, including myself. So,
what have you been playing, Jessica?
Oh, well, I've gone deep into Dragon's Dogma 2. So if you listened to last week's episode, then you may recall our little dilemma over which game Craig was going to purchase. He was pretty set on Rise of the Ronin, and then reviews came out for Dragon's Dogma 2. And then without final consultation, he just went ahead and purchased Dragon's Dogma 2.
Well, what happened was, one, it had much better review scores. Mm-hmm. Two, I knew you wanted to play Dragon's Dogma over Rise of the Ronin. Mm-hmm. So I thought I was doing a nice thing. Mm-hmm. But clearly, I'm getting fucking dug up for it now.
Well, I mean, obviously I'm happy with the purchase. Right. But I just...
You thought you'd bring it up on a live discussion
there
anyway.
There was just no final discussion on the
It's just
on
the fact that you're supposed to be a team.
Mm. Well, don't worry, I'll be buying Rise of the Ronin as well.
Unless you're informed of that decision.
I feel like we should maybe start with the negatives because there has been a lot of chat in the industry.
I'd say it's back and forth. Yeah, there has been negatives and positives.
What's the
Not
negatives?
The review scores, obviously. They've been really high.
Yeah, so it came out to really high review scores, but also there has been a few negatives, which I'll just touch on. So microtransactions. The inclusion of microtransactions has sparked quite a bit of controversy, and I'm not defending them by any means here. Like, I totally agree that their presence in a single-player RPG, like, it just feels out of place. It can break the immersion, disrupt the experience. But in this game, it doesn't do that. Like, at no point during the 20, 30 hours, possibly, that I've played so far, have I actually seen where to purchase these items.
Yeah, you were, like, trying to find out how you would even do it.
The only place I've seen it is on the PS Home Play. So see if you've got it on pause and it kind of, like, I don't know, you get kind of adverts rolling. Mm-hmm. That's the only place I've seen.
It's like Assassin's Creed where you have to go deep into the menu to actually buy the stuff.
Yeah.
It's certainly not like trying to, I don't know, there's no point so far when I've been playing where it's like been like, oh, what about this?
Yeah.
Exactly. So like most items that are available to purchase like can be acquired through gameplay. Like some are rare or limited, yes, and okay, you might struggle to find them naturally, but I mean, use a guide if you need to. People, you know, write stuff for a living of where to find everything in a game. Or if you want to pay the 79 pence, go for it. That's up to you. Like, I feel like it's been, I don't know, made out to be like it's forcing you to purchase these things. Like,
yeah,
the way
as if you can't
see,
move forward to fit it.
The way you see in sort of typical free-to-play or multiplayer games, but it's not that at all.
Yeah. It's there if you want it, but I mean, I've played a lot less than you, but certainly so far I'd be like, there's no reason to buy anything.
Yeah, I mean, the things that you can buy are like Wake Stones, which So when you die, you can either reload from your last save, you can reload from your last, like, in save, which is a kind of, I don't know, you'd save it that at a more kind of prominent point, or you can use a wake stone, which will literally pick you up from the floor where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so using that, you'd probably only do that in something that you've kind of, if you've been in a significant battle and you're at the last tiny little bit or whatever. Like, I've not felt, I've used it a couple of times because I've had them, but I've not felt the need to. I'm not desperate for more.
Ah, you've just used it because you had it.
Yeah, and there's fast travel points and stuff as well. But, I mean, maybe I'm not enough into the game, you know, where I'm at the point where I'm like, oh, I can't be bothered checking all the way back there, so I'd rather have fast travel points. But to be fair, I've got enough of them as it is, so it's...
That's the thing, though. I think a lot of this stuff's for, like, it's for people that don't have the patience. It's like, right, okay, it's there if you want, but the whole game's about exploration and stuff like that, so you're almost playing it wrong if you're doing it that way anyway.
Yeah,
I agree. And the other thing has been performance-related complaints, which I've not experienced any crashes or freezing or any kind of critical problems that I have. There was, I think, I was on an ox cart ride, and what happens when you're going from town to town on these rides, you can, like, fall asleep, but quite often you'll get woken up because a monster will appear and you'll have to fight it or whatever. And so I did the fight, and then I tried to get back on the car, and one, he charged me again, the prick, and then also he just didn't go anywhere. So that was annoying. But, you know, there has been some frame rate drops and stuttering. Like, the game runs at an unlocked frame rate on consoles. It's kind of hovers about 30 FPS, and it's get ray traced global illuminations turned on by default. Not sure why they did that, but Capcom did tweet out early in the week saying they're planning to release patches, so there will be options going forward to switch motion blur on or off, switch ray tracing on or off, and then they're going to add an option to set the frame rate to either variable or max 30 FPS, which I appreciate for some, still won't cut it, but it's fine for me.
Yeah, from what I've played so far, the frame rate hasn't... So, let me dial that back a little bit. For the most part, the frame rate hasn't been an issue at all. When during fights, it almost always runs at least 30 frames a second, and I find it totally fine. It does not disrupt my experience at all. I completely understand some folk are like, I'm not playing it unless it's 60. Fair enough. I think you might be waiting a while though to play it, and you're missing out on a fucking phenomenal game. But if that's your, if that's what you want, then that's what you want. But there is times when you're in, like, big settlements that I've noticed, like, it's sort of just chugging a bit.
Yeah.
And it doesn't ruin the experience by any means, because it happens at times where you're just, like, exploding, like, a village or something like that. But it is noticeable, and it does annoy me a wee bit. But again, it doesn't disrupt the experience for me at all. Like, the game, I wasn't expecting to enjoy this.
Same.
Like, even when the good reviews came out, I remember, I think we spoke about this last week, but we watched a video review, and they were talking about how amazing the combat is, while obviously the video in the background was playing combat, and I'm looking at it going, it doesn't look great. Like, they're telling me how good the combat is, but what I'm watching here just doesn't look that good. But then when you start playing it, it's really fucking engaging, and the sense of exploration in the world is phenomenal. Like, it definitely gives me Elden Ring vibes from, like, the exploration. Every time you go over a hill, you're like, what am I going to find next? There's so many unscripted events that just happen. The world, like... I mean, a lot of people that listen to this podcast will know this about me. I do not generally like fantasy-based stuff.
No, I'm exactly the same.
I didn't play Skyrim. Well, sorry, I did. I played Skyrim for half an hour and I put it off because I was like, I'm not playing this fucking shit. And I've never went back to it. Like, that's the level. Everyone loves Skyrim.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, I'm not fucking playing this crap.
Yeah. So I think that's the thing for me as well. Like,
but I love this.
I was initially put off by footage of these, like, cat-like creatures that you play as, but actually it's got a really in-depth character creator, so you can customise to your heart's content. And so I've made my character a female. She actually, like, inadvertently, like, I didn't mean to make her look like, but she looks a little bit like Aloy from Horizon. So that's the kind of vibe I'm rocking. And then in terms of what you were saying about the combat, so you can choose from various vocations and they each offer unique play styles. And so I've gone with the archer, so I've got, like, ranged attacks with a bow and, like, I think quite light armor, but that suits me because I've buddied up, like, my pawns, your little companions, like I've made them fighters and thieves and mage so that I've got a combination of us all, and so mm-hmm. I just hang back like the shite bag that I am,
yep.
bowl them, bring them down, and then my guys mop up the rest. So it's we're a team and it works great.
You've got it nailed.
I've actually I saved some footage because there was a lot going on and I was like, right team, fucking get out of here. And I'm like, come to me, because you can tell them like what to do.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, run. And then one guy's trying to fight. I'm like, fucking run, come on. And we escaped. We were fine. It was all good.
That's good. I went with a thief, and with a thief you get little daggers, and see when you come into a fight with, I think you've probably seen it from preview footage, but when you get into a fight with like a larger enemy, you can like scale up their back, like seen almost that, if you're rock climbing. Yeah. So you like up their back and then just start fucking stabbing the shit out of them, and it feels so cool. Like the thief's got daggers and is also more agile. But it's cool that you can change throughout your journey. So like you can decide like, all right, I want to be this, I want to do this now.
Yeah, so there's like four basic vocations, but as you know, the player arisen, you can eventually learn like more advanced ones that expand your playstyle as well. So I've kind of been continuing with the archer. I did change once, but then I'm back to my bow and arrow because that's.
I think that's the thing. I think the fact that you can go back and forth is cool, but you get attached to the character you create and. Like, I'm the thief, and I've only played, like, six, seven hours maybe, but even at the moment, I know I'll switch to other vocations, but I know I'm going to go back, because this is the character I have envisioned for the first 6 hours, and I know I'm going to mostly stick with that. It is a wee bit annoying that I can't be a thief with daggers and also have a ranged weapon, but it's I do appreciate the different play styles, and I could even see myself at some point maybe playing through again with as a like mainlining a different vocation. Yeah.
And again, depending on how you want to do it, like I think that's another thing that I love about this game so far. Like it kind of leverages that like emergent gameplay, and the systems and mechanics like seamlessly feed into one another. And so you can play it how you want. If you want a team of four thieves with your pawns, like you can do that.
Yeah.
And yeah, just all the different encounters that I've had so far, like they've all been, you know, there's the odd fetch quest and stuff like that, but there is a bit of depth to a lot of the little side quests that you're doing. And yeah, the like you mentioned, the sense of exploration, I think that's where for me that I'm kind of hooked on it, because it's like you're going from A to B, but then you're like, oh, what's that over there? And you just get lost. And that's how I've sunk so many hours into it so far.
Yeah, I'm totally smitten with it. Like I tend to be quite busy at the beginning of the week, and this week's been a particular mare. But so I haven't played anything since the weekend. But I mean, at the weekend, like I couldn't put it down. Like I was like, this is fucking excellent.
But that's the thing that good open world games do. You're never too far away from the next thing.
Oh.
Like it's not so open world where you're like, this is just what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. There's always like 30 seconds and you're like, there's another thing.
Yeah.
30 seconds that way, there's another thing.
The map
you just
is
keep
so
on discovering stuff.
It's so well populated. It really is. It's a masterful open world. It's really, really well done. And like, just to sort of back up, you see on the like microtransactions, like again, I'm in less time than you. I have absolutely no inclination to use any microtransactions. But see, even if I did, I genuinely wouldn't care. Like, from what I mean, I had to go and seek it out to see what they were, but they were all like fucking like 79p or something like that. And like, I've not looked into it to see exactly why, but for reasons unbeknown to me, the game's not even full price. I mean, you're talking about like an RPG here that you could put hundreds of hours into, and it's £10 less than a full price game. So I don't know, if at some point I do put a fiver in through microtransactions, I've still not even paid the price of a full price game. Sure. Like, I think it's brilliant so far. Really, really good. Highly recommend. Maybe it goes tits up further in, but so far,
well,
I genuinely, it's...
I don't want to give spoilers, but one thing has gone tits up for me. I killed somebody that I didn't mean to kill, and it was a situation, but it's okay. It's okay.
Get a bit too loose with your bow, were you?
No, I fired a pawn. I'm blaming him.
P60. P45 even. I've not played that much. I did play like 6 or 7 hours of Dragon's Dogma 2. The other thing I played for my sins was South Park Snow Day.
In April? You played this in April?
I know.
Oh, sorry, March. It's not even April yet.
Stop trying to will time away. Yes. Well, to be fair, there was snow around the country today.
That is true.
Yep.
There has been. So of all the days to play it, uh-huh. I mean...
So, yeah, it's not... It fits. No. It fits the narrative, mm-hmm. right? It also fits the narrative that this is not a very good game. So you'll be stunned to hear. Like, from, I think we've spoken about this, from the fucking moment we heard of this thing, we're like, why would you follow up two absolute banger RPGs with a fucking snowball fight game?
Yeah.
In its defense, turns out it's actually not a snowball fight game. That might have been better. What it is a 3D hack and slash game with card-based elements.
What?
But it's borderline a shitty platinum. Not in terms of you can beat it. I mean, it takes, I think, about 10 hours maybe to platinum, so it's not in terms of time, but I have seen shitty platinums that have this type of, that are this type of game, mm-hmm. where it's just a 3D blob hack and slash. Like, the graphics are actually better than I thought they would be, and the sort of physics of you going through the snow actually looks kind of cool, mm-hmm. but it's just such a fucking downgrade on those last two games. And it's, I suppose it shouldn't be surprising that it's set in the same universe, but like, because I think it's just the whole thing is the South Park universe, but like, even in the first 10 minutes, it references those last two games, which I think is quite strange. Cartman's going on about how, like, oh, you ruined, the new kid ruined that game, then he ruined the next game. Like, so he ruined the, like, sort of Harry Potter style game, the first one, or Lord of the Rings, or whatever it was. Then he ruined the fucking superhero one, and now he's going to ruin this one as well. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to ruin it. And it starts off quite decent, because it starts off looking like the show. It doesn't start off in 3D. And so at the beginning, it starts snowing. And it's in Cartman's home, and so he's talking to his mum, and he's like, ah, it's snowing, school's going to get cancelled. It's the most magical day of all, a snow day. And you remember when you were a kid and you're at school? We didn't get many snow days, but that was a fucking time. Mm. That was a vibe. And so there's all this, it cuts to news items, and there's like a guy reporting on the scene. He's like, well, Tom, we're now up to 50 dead in the snowstorm. And it cuts back to Cartman, and he's just getting more and more giddy. 50 dead, we're definitely getting a snow day, we're gonna get a snow day. And his mum's like, Eric, that's terrible. Overnight, he can't sleep because he's so excited about the potential of a snow day. He gets up in the morning, there's like 500 folk dead at this point, everybody's fucking frozen to death, and Cartman's just jumping up and down, are we getting a snow day. But then, aye, you get unleashed in this 3D world where you've got like a wee fucking wooden sword and you're fighting against elves and...
It sounds pish.
There's five levels that each take about an hour.
Right.
Just, I don't know.
Is it funny? Does some of the narrative have the South Park humour?
A little bit, but there's not. It's not very story driven. Like, that's what was so good about the first two games, or not the first two games, but the two RPGs, was it was like an elongated episode.
Yeah,
and they had all the humor. This does have the voice acting. It does have funny lines, but there's not like a cohesive story. It's just a sort of, here's the setup. Now you're going to play an hour long level of you hacking fucking elves to bits.
It's weird that they've kind of regressed in a way.
Like, I know you guys, like, mock me for the trophies and stuff like that, but the first trophy that popped in this game was for unlocking a legendary upgrade. That is a sign of bad game design. Why is the first fucking trophy you're unlocking is unlocking a legendary upgrade.
Yeah.
Which is the highest you can get, by the way.
Yeah, I did check. Usually.
And
you got that just by doing nothing?
I got it in the tutorial.
Yeah, there you go.
But it carries over. Like, it's very, very weird. And just, it's almost as if they knew this game was bad, is there's these cards you can play called bullshit cards. So, like, that can, like, do buffs and stuff like that. And so anytime one of these gets played, all of a sudden you just hear, like, an announcer go, bullshit! But it happens every 2 minutes. And so you're left playing this bad game while it just constantly shouts bullshit at you, and you're like, yes, yes it is. Extremely poor, but I'm probably going to plan on it.
Now that you've started it, you can't have it sitting on your record there, like, unfinished. You know?
Exactly. They're nice enough to give us a code, so I've bad-mouthed them enough, I may as well complete it. And you, Andy, Control?
Control, aye, so I might talk about that again. I'm just playing games that I've already played.
But you're playing, is the DLC woven into the story? Because I've not played any.
Yeah, there's two DLCs, forget what the other one's, I think one's called AWE.
Yeah.
And then another one, I forget what the other one's called. But it's just woven into the middle of the game, because I didn't realise, because the bits I'm forgetting, and then it was like this new floor opens up on the sector elevator that you can go to, an investigations level, and it turns out that is part of that's the DLC you're going to.
Alright.
So it's just woven into the middle of the game, because there's still loads of the game left.
I love when they do that.
Yeah.
And so they've done it really well. Sort of like seamlessly put it in.
Yeah, done it really well. So there's another one. I don't know when that will take place, but yeah. I forgot how good this game was. It's so fucking good. So good.
Remedy are pretty fucking good.
Just the mechanic of like throwing the launching the stuff at folk and everything. It's just good fun. So, and I tried that the baseball game quickly.
Oh, right.
Not the EA proper one, the kind of like,
oh, the Super Mega Baseball.
Yeah, but not for you. 15 minutes, and I was just like, well, fuck this.
I don't like rounders.
That's just, I was like, why have I downloaded this? I mean,
so I enjoyed, to be fair, I enjoyed that one. I don't know that I could play the more semi proper one.
So that's all I've been playing.
Good stuff.
Okay, well, we'll move on to this week's news then.
News, always believe in the news. We are bringing you the news with your digging team. Always believe in.
So, as was heavily rumoured, the new Marvel game announced on Wednesday is indeed a 6-on-6, team-based, hero-based, multiplayer shooter. It's called Marvel Rivals, and it's built around each character having their own unique abilities. You've got the Hulk, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, Black Panther, and various other super people. Right now, it's PC only, with an alpha test dropping in May. Developer NetEase is promising a, quote, continually evolving universe through robust post-launch updates. I did watch the trailer, noped out on it. What's your thoughts?
I'm watching the trailer right now, and I'm noping out on it.
It's just like so marketed at kids, really,
it's
isn't
so
it?
So frantic. That was my thing. I was like, nah, I can't even see what's going on here.
I mean, as soon as it says superhero, I'm almost certainly out. But it looks like a superhero Fortnite.
It does, doesn't it? It looks very Fortnite-ly.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, that first sentence was just fuck off bingo to me. Like, I mean, 6v6, nope. Team-based, nope. Hero-based, nope. Multiplayer, nope. Like, I don't know. It was as if somebody designed a trailer to wind me up.
Yeah, there will be a huge market for this, though, and I can see it probably doing quite well, to be honest.
Yeah,
but
I can see it doing well, 100%.
We are
kids
not
will
the target
love
audience.
I'm definitely not the target audience for this, no. But yeah.
So we'll not be playing this one, then.
Interesting, right? So so there's a beta coming to PC.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Spider-Man in that trailer. Presumably this will come to Xbox and PlayStation.
There's been no mention of it, though. I don't know.
No mention of it yet, but it'd be interesting to see Spider-Man on an Xbox.
Next up, Capcom's new open-world RPG, Dragon's Dogma 2, which we've mentioned, is potentially going to influence the next Resident Evil game, according to prominent leaker Dusk Golem. Apparently, the open-world tech behind Dragon's Dogma 2 is helping drive development on both Monster Hunter Wilds and Resident Evil 9. What do we think? Would an open-world Resident Evil game be a good idea? Do you want it to be, what,
open-world Resident Evil?
Well,
I completed Resident
version?
Evil 3, by the way. Sorry. I don't think I told you that.
No, you didn't.
I just played that again quickly.
The remake?
Casually,
because I was like, have I played this before? And I was like, and it was like half an hour in, I went, yeah, I have. But then I was like, I'm just going to play this because it's actually good fun. So
it
I played that. But
more action-focused than two, but good. It's only about 4 hours
open
long
world
as well.
One, I would, I like the fact that Resident Evil is more like a linear kind of game.
Yeah.
Where, like, couple of wee puzzle bits here and there, but that's what it's... I don't know if I would like that.
I'm sick of stuff being open world. I say that after just saying...
It doesn't need it.
The Dragon's Dogma is an amazing open world, and
aye,
I realise
that's
the
type of game
fault.
It is, though. Aye, but this is a Resident Evil as a type is a very distinct game, and it's like trying to make it different for a different sake, which you don't need to, because it's literally going to sell. Aye. If you make a Resident Evil game, it's going to sell. You don't need to go, we need to make this open world now, because the sales are dipping. They sell brilliant every fucking time, because it's just a license that people hold stock in.
I think they should be very careful as well, because they got away from their roots once before, and we got Resident Evil 6. And
what one was that again? The one that was very...
Broken up into three separate games, and it was just like basically a shooter. It was fucking terrible.
Oh, I don't remember that.
5 was co-op. Well, it wasn't... You could play it yourself, but you could also play it co-op, and then 6 was broken up into 3 stories. Not a lot of people played it. It was fucking shite.
Oh.
And then when they did 7, that's when they get back to their horror roots, went first person with 7 and 8.
Oh, I remember that. That was brilliant. Yeah.
If I was them, I wouldn't go anywhere near open world. No. I don't think... Not everything needs to be open world, and I don't think Resident Evil would suit it.
They can do wee bits that are a bit more open than others, but it doesn't need to be an open world game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I know what they're thinking right now. They're thinking of having a big city full of zombies, where it's just an open world and you can burn it, and then maybe the story will take place. Maybe that could work, actually.
I think
if it was just a city and they made it like just Raccoon City and just made it really dense with stuff, that could work. Well, a good story, but like you go to see it, I could see that actually working there.
With Resident Evil Village, there was open areas.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking there as soon as I said that.
I wouldn't mind that, but yeah. I don't want the whole thing to be open.
Because the thing is, like, what would you be doing when you're not looking for the progress in the story? You would just be going about doing killing zombies?
I suppose, and I don't know. Side missions?
Side stuff. I don't know. Depends how it's done. It could work.
If it's done well, it could work.
Yeah.
It would need to be a relatively small and dense open world, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Raccoon City, which I don't think is too big.
No, I don't think so.
So they could...
Plus, they could just wall part of
it. And, you know what it's like? They could do like Raccoon City if it's not too big, but then they always have bits underground and shit, don't they? Stuff. They could do that. It could maybe work out, actually.
And as far as the first and third person thing, like, obviously the last two, in terms of, well, they've obviously been doing remakes and stuff like that, but 7 and 8 were both first person, but then they did add, I can't remember if they did for Resident Evil 7, but they added a third person mode to Resident Evil 8. And so I think it would be best going forward if they give you the option. Because they obviously have it in that engine that you can do both. Because Resident Evil 8 was originally first person, and then they released a third-person mode for it.
But I think you should just pick one and stick to it, because the game's designed more in a way. You know what I mean? It's not like it'll work. If it was designed in first-person, it'll work better in first-person than it would in the third, even though you can technically do it in the third and play
it. Which would you prefer it was, then?
I just prefer them to pick one, and then I'll be happy with it, because third-person's great, and I love the first-person ones as well. Mm. I didn't think I would, but the first-person ones were...
First, I was kind of put off, but they were scarier.
Because it's more, you feel as if you're more the character.
Yeah, and you can't see what's coming behind.
Exactly.
WWE 2K24 is a game that was released recently, and despite the decent critical reaction leading to an 81 on OpenCritic, fans aren't best pleased about the third planned DLC pack. Rather than trying to explain this, you know, like some sort of nerd who watches wrestling outside of the odd Rock appearance. Craig, I'm going to pass this one over to you and you can detail the outrage.
Yes, there is much outrage. And to be fair, I get it. Like, so what WWE do is, well, what 2K do is, they announce, usually before the game even comes out, what all the DLC characters are going to be. And there's usually 5 or 6 packs and you get certain characters in each one. So... For instance, DLC Pack 1 is CM Punk, Bubba and Devon Dudley, The Sandman, and Terry Funk, right? It's an ECW pack. I'm like, that's pretty fucking good. A lot of people buy the Ultimate Edition, you get all these with them when they come out. But I mean, I don't know if it's, I don't know how much it is, but you're thinking that's a decent pack. That's all right. You'd maybe consider that. Pack three, not so, right? They wanted Pat McAfee in the game. Nothing against Pat McAfee, right? Mm-hmm. Bit of a tip, but nothing against him particularly. But seemingly, he only agreed to be in the pack if the rest of the pack could be his pals.
From his show?
So...
from his Pat McAfee show?
So, DLC Pack 3 is...
You fucking kidding me on,
Pat McAfee, AJ Hawk, oh my God, Boston Connor, Darius Butler, Ty Schmidt, and you get a couple of cards for my faction mode.
Unbelievable.
Are these all like Z-listers?
I think some of them were American footballers. But they're nobody that any WWE fans give a flying fuck about.
And do people have to pay for this?
Well, the thing is, yeah, I mean, you can buy it a la carte and people just won't fucking buy it. But what I feel for is the people that have bought like the season pack, and part of that season pack money is going on this fucking shit.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's not as if they didn't know that there was going to be a backlash here, right? Because on their website, they outlined each wrestler that was going to be in packs 1, 2, 4 and 5. But then for pack 3, all it said was, on their website, Pat McAfee and playable co-hosts to be named later.
So
even though they knew every day it was in pack 4, every day it was in pack 5. That was all fine.
Do you think they were still, perhaps, at the time of writing that, though, maybe just still waiting on agreements for some of these other guys?
Or... no, I think they knew fine well how fucking angry people would be. Yeah. When they said playable co-hosts, folk were like, oh, are we getting Corey Graves? Are we getting, you know what I mean? Are we getting other announcers? No, you're getting fucking...
fucking nobodies.
Aye, absolute nobodies. Like, there's some great DLC in here. Like, DLC Pack 5 is a WCW one, and it's, I mean, granted, a bit strange... because Mr. Perfect's in it, and he was never Mr. Perfect in WCW. So
no, he was Kurt Hennig.
A little bit strange, but it's a good pack. It's Diamond Dallas Page,
Iron
Sheik.
How did he fuck up with stuff like this, by the way?
I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong, he wrestled in WCW, but he was not called Mr. Perfect.
No,
so
that's the point. And is he Mr. Perfect?
It's listed as Mr. Perfect. Maybe he's got
an alternate. That's totally wrong then.
But maybe he's got an alternate skin where he's Kurt Hennig. I don't know. But the WCW packs, DDP, Iron Sheik, Perfect, Great Muta, Lex Luger. Like, there's good wrestlers in it. Mm. And then there's this fucking pack three.
Did Iron Sheik go in WCW for a
minute? He was in the NWA. So, aye. But I mean, he's not most well known for that. But I think they've just needed to fill it out a bit. Like, one of the DLC packs has got Sherry Martel. That's quite cool. Like, there's a lot of good wrestlers coming. But it's just, why they have enabled this cunt. Like, see when Pat McAfee was like, I'll be in it if my pals can, you'd just be like, right, well, I mean, nobody was fucking pining for you in the game anyway, mate, so let's just fucking call it a day, you absolute weapon.
Yeah.
But, so folk are up in arms, and they've got quite fucking right, I'd be fucking raging.
He's politicked to get his pals in the game, eh?
Yeah, I mean, we got a code for the game, and it was the Ultimate Edition, but I will purposely not download that DLC pack, out of spite.
What are the other ones, though?
I didn't write down them all, but like I say, there's that ECW pack that's got the CM Punk, Dudley, Sandman, Terry Funk. There's that WCW pack. I know Sherry Martel's in one of them. There's like one. Mm-hmm. There's a pack that's got like some newer wrestlers that didn't quite get in time.
All right.
Like people that had maybe left and come back. I'm not even sure the full roster at the moment.
Right.
But I mean, by the time this DLC comes out, you're talking 300-ish wrestlers.
God.
And the edit mode is so good that there's people on that I follow on Twitter that are releasing wrestlers like once a week and they look spot on.
Oh, cool.
Like somebody just released Bam Bam Bigelow and he's got all the proper tattoos in his head and everything. How they've done it, I don't know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, good stuff.
Imagine we had this back in the day when we shouldn't be admitting this. But when we used to play with wrestling figures and we made up like events and stuff like that, you'd have your champion and you would have them all, you would have your events written out, you would plan it like as if you were a booker.
Yep.
Wouldn't you?
Oh, I just spent hours and hours.
We spent hours going through magazines, cutting out WrestleMania signs so we could make our own entrances and stuff like that.
These were so cool.
Oh, no, we were. Well, remember the magazines I've showed you that we made? So cool.
That's the Bam Bam Bigelow someone's created in the edit.
Oh, that's fucking great. It's really good.
It looks like it's been made by the developers.
It really does.
And you can go into, so there's like, when you go into edit mode, you can choose to download other people's creations and you can just download them.
So you can just get it?
Aye.
Nah, that's cool.
So at this point, you can basically every wrestler.
But if we had this sort of thing when we were younger, how much fun you would have with that?
Like, oh just, my God.
And because you would just like, create events probably? You could probably create events.
There's now a mode where you can basically create your own promotion. You book matches get like get like that. Star ratings and stuff you like would that.
Just, and then you could...
That's like a full GM mode.
You could spend hours just doing that. It'd be great.
Yeah. It's not really anymore,
because we're grown up. I'm 39, course, remember.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I don't do that anymore. I'm definitely not currently doing it just now.
Okay, moving on. Harold Halibut, the game made entirely out of real-life models and figures, will launch for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series and Steam on the 16th of April. So there was a new trailer that debuted during the Future Games show, which you can watch on YouTube. So this one's like sculpted 3D characters and sets have been like 3D scanned into the experience. And it's on a city-sized spaceship underneath an alien ocean. Also, last-gen versions are expected to release a later date. So I played a little bit of this demo.
Mm-hmm.
Really liked it so far. So yeah, I'm keen to check this one out when it comes out.
Yeah, I was looking forward to it. So that's good. It's not. They did say that it would be quite soon.
So it's got a release date now. Seems like the movie/TV industry just cannot help itself. Having ripped the arse out of most big franchises at this point, let's be honest, the dart has now been flung at, of all things, The Sims. Mm. So Margot Robbie's production firm is attached and the film will be produced and co-written by Kate Herron of Locate fame. So EA will serve in a creative and producing capacity. So we're going to get a Sims game.
A Sims film.
A Sims film. Yeah, I can see...
From the game.
Margot Robbie is like the perfect Sim, though. Do you not think?
She's kind of played that character.
She's a good fit for it.
Oh, it's kind of weird.
You've not seen the Barbie movie, have you?
I have.
Mm. I feel like from that, I'm like, yeah, okay, I can see it as a Sim now as well.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's quite similar in a way.
Yeah.
See, on one hand, fuck off with this shit. Like, a fucking... fuck off. A Sims fucking film. Piss off. But at the same point, I'm like... If they do it right,
mm-hmm.
like if it's a film where, I don't know, it starts off, people are going about their sort of daily routine, not realizing that they are being manipulated and sort of controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start to get a sort of idea that something's not right and they start to break free from this or something. That could be quite a cool, dark film.
Well, not about Ryan Reynolds film. Basically.
Free guy, a bit like that. But I think it,
I think make it darker and that could be really cool, but it'll be a fucking rom-com or some shite.
I don't know, yeah, it's interesting. It'll be, yeah, interesting to see what they do with it. I think that down that line with a bit of humour added in, so like, I don't know, when they're getting changed, it goes all like pixelated and stuff like that. It would be quite funny and I don't know, yeah. It remains to be seen, obviously, it's probably a ways away, but
if it's done properly, it could be all right, but I don't know, it does seem a bit like, is this where we're at now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. and keeping with TV/movies, the surprisingly well-received TV adaptation of Twisted Metal is finally available without the need for delivery in the UK, so those with subscription to Paramount Plus will be able to watch the whole first season of the show via the streaming service.
Which I would recommend doing because it was really fucking good. I really enjoyed it. Didn't think it would be good, and it was. So I get it in you. It's only about 8 episodes as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if a second season's been confirmed yet. I think it will get a second season, though, because it was really good.
Okay, and that wraps up our news for this week. Before we do our film review, Attack of the Meth Gator, don't get too excited. I've got my little Guess the Game to play.
Let's go, because I'm in the lead. I'm
not going to let us forget that, are you?
No.
So it's my turn to provide you with the game clues, and you will have to guess that game. You've got three choices, or three, what's the word I'm looking for?
Guesses.
You've got three guesses.
Given it's called Guess the Game.
Yeah. Snooze, you lose, you don't get any points. So, are you ready?
Not really.
Okay. Review number one. The graphics, sound, and intelligence factors combine to make a game that will scare the hell out of you. The main problem that X seems to have is lack of identity. It wants to combine Doom elements with Hexen elements, which creates a mishmash effect. Any guesses so far?
Not. I started off really good at this game and I've got really bad at it.
I do. What was the last bit though? A Doom with what?
Hex.
So it's a shooter with some sort of fantasy style bits. No, I think we're going to need the next one.
Yeah, nothing's jumping to me yet.
Satan, your game has arrived. It spits up blood and pisses vinegar. It sprouts horns from its head like the prude minion of evil that it is. It shoots lightning bolts for cripe's sakes. It's a game of pure evil and even purer entertainment. It's also the best action game on the planet.
Serious Sam?
No.
Shit. Serious Sam? The best action game on the planet?
Oh my god. What the fuck is this?
Doom Eternal.
And you go.
Despite its flaws, Nintendo 64 owners looking for the X experience can't go wrong with this game, if for single player mode alone. However, seasoned X looking for the ultimate player multiplayer game may want to rent before they buy.
What the fuck? Is it Turok?
No.
Oh my god! Oh my god.
I know it's not this, because it's clearly some sort of horror slant, but I'm going to say it anyway because they said the best action game on the planet or something like GoldenEye.
No.
It's, no.
I knew it couldn't be because in the first review sort of said that it was something to do with horror, but just... That's a fucking bold statement.
So what the fuck is it? N64. Duke Nukem?
Nope.
Oh my god, I'm out. That's me out. I'm on my guesses. You could...
I was about to say No Mercy, but... It's just hard to hear N64 and not have that as a guess. This is difficult for me because I never had an N64 until way after the fact, and I only used it for the big.
Oh, just give your man extra guesses, and then no worries. Now that my guesses are all gone, just chuck and sprinkle a little extra fluff on there.
I don't think he's gonna get it anyway. I'm gonna have to edit out some ear noise here.
Yeah, put in some elevator music.
Yeah. Or countdown timer.
It's on.
And how long did I give him? That's the thing.
I'm not going to get it, but it's going to annoy me because I do think I know what it is. It's something. It's not Carmageddon because that was obviously cars, but it's something. It's something that was synonymous around that time.
Oh, say what you
have. But I can't think what the fucking game's called.
Just guess something then. You may as well guess something. You'll get one more guess. You'll chuck something at you.
I'm totally blanking. Totally blanking.
So you're giving up? Right.
I genuinely can't think what it could be.
No point.
But it's something that was roundabout, played a lot at the same time as Carmageddon.
So what is it, Jess?
Quake.
Oh my god! Oh my god! I had that in my head at one point. I was like, no.
I genuinely didn't. I didn't.
But before you said N64, though,
the N64 thing totally went in my head because totally I was like,
was that on N64? Oh, fuck.
Well, there was a Quake 64.
Mm-hmm. I didn't play that.
Or neither did I. I didn't play any Quake games. Like, it's not my thing.
No,
but
same.
No, I genuinely didn't even think of Quake.
Oh well.
Scores on the doors remain the same. So
scores as stands. Oh well.
Fuck this, I'm going home. Right,
but, you need to talk about Attack of the Myth Gator.
I know, I've been looking forward to this.
Yeah, I haven't.
Andy looks like he's constipated.
I haven't watched it.
So
did you know it?
No, I forgot.
Have you actually not?
No.
Oh, Andy.
Fucking prick.
I never downloaded it in time, then I was having my birthday celebrations.
Right, well, do you know what, Andy? I'm going to tell
Un-fucking-believable. That is unbelievable. Sexy's got away with this because it's his birthday as well. You're fucking watching two next week. You're going to watch it and you're going to give us a review it next week. Fucking sat through that twice.
Sell it to me.
So, I mean,
unbelievable.
I very much doubt, Andy, that I really need to tell you the plot. I'm sure you've gathered maybe what the plot possibly could be.
I'd like to lodge an official complaint.
Okay.
I'm taking it as a...
Where's the HR team?
It's a slant on... Like cocaine bear kind of idea.
Actually, fun fact, this
came
film,
out before it, didn't it?
This film was in development before the announcement of Cocaine Bear.
Oh, wow, okay.
I think Cocaine Bear was like, what if we had a budget?
Let's go with that.
Yeah. So, in Attack of the Meth Gator, chaos erupts in Florida when an alligator consumes a hefty dose of drugs. As the substances take effect, the once docile reptile transforms into a menacing force, terrorising the local community.
I don't know how docile it was. It was fucking huge.
Does it not grow? It doesn't grow in size then? It's always huge.
It was just a massive PNG.
And then, and it, what? PNG?
Aye.
What's that?
It's like a image that has a transparent background.
Fuck's sake. Right, so it was always just massive. Mm-hmm. But
I don't think it grew. I don't think the meth made it grow. It was fucking huge.
Right. I don't think realism's on the ticket here, so it could have been a thing.
So yeah, in terms of the actual gator, like, there were elements where I'm like, that actually looks quite good, but then there was elements where it looked fucking atrocious.
I did watch a couple of wee bits and the graphics looked shocking.
There was a couple of times where they caught it at the right time and it fitted a bit,
right.
And then there was other times where it really fucking didn't. And it didn't help that it was clearly at least four or five members of the cast first ever acting role.
Mm-hmm.
There was a few of them. The main guy, the DEA agent.
In Craig's notes, he's written, the DEA agent is a worse actor than the CGI gator. So
yeah.
That sums up your feelings there, I think.
He did a bad job and he should feel bad. Is what I would say. He did a really fucking bad job. And he keeps calling the other guy Pops. And it's the way he says it. It's just brutal.
Mm.
What are we saying, Pops? What are we saying? Hey, Pops. Fuck off.
Is he black?
Yes.
Right.
Wow, did that come through?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I did a better fucking accent than him then. Because he was fucking atrocious. And his dad was white, you know. It's so confusing.
Hey, Pops.
Well, I don't know what's going on here.
The acting was particularly bad in this one. And even just, like, obviously they use weapons. And I don't know. I mean, I've never held a gun before.
Neither had they.
But do you know what I mean?
Which is strange because they were all American.
They didn't shoot with conviction when they were shooting an alligator coming at them, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. At one point, so there's a mayor character, right? And he's like the typical hillbilly... Not hillbilly, he's a typical like kind of cowboy, white suit,
mm-hmm.
like giving it all the fucking patter, but he's a cunt. And so he's just fucking kicking about the bar, being a prick the whole film.
He cares more about the sort of festival thing that's about to happen.
Yeah. Like Jaws, basically. Doesn't want the event to get cancelled because of this.
Aye, it's just like Jaws.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd love that comparison. But then, you think this guy's just a prick. But then at one point, he just sort of grows a set and goes, I'm going to take care of this myself because he wants to help the town.
Mm.
And so he goes into his boot, gets a fucking AK-47, because of course it's America. And then he just fucking goes down to the pond and just the alligator comes out and he just starts unloading this fucking machine gun at it, does absolutely no damage. He gets munched, and then another two folk turn up. This girl shoots once, granted it was a shotgun, but one shot, and it fucking runs away. And they're like, you heard it. I'm like, this guy loaded about fucking 300 rounds into it.
Mm.
But it gets worse than that, though, because towards the end of the story, they trap it, essentially, in a building, and they shoot a fucking RPG at it. And they're like, yes, we're done. Like, we've killed it. Because it, like, shrivels up into a thing. And, you know, Craig clicks on our mouse just to pause it for a minute, and I'm thinking, there's fucking 20 minutes of this film to go. This is not the end. Yeah. It was a false ending, but a badly done false ending, because they shot it with a fucking RPG. Surely that kills
that
it.
That would have done it. You would
in think. In close space, it, you know, why does that not?
Well, that's the thing.
Lead to its death, Craig.
So half the film, they're trying to find this meth lab because they don't know where it is, and they want to find it before the alligator does, because if it finds the meth lab, it will become invincible.
Game over.
Right. So they eventually find it. It's
it's the gator's now an addict.
Yeah.
It's
like, uh-huh, that's what they say. Yeah. So they find the meth lab and it's underground, right? So they find a hatch. They open up the hatch. And one of the guys goes, holy shit, it's like a football stadium down here. and they proceed to go into this room that looks like a garage. Underground 100% garage. Like it was the size of this fucking living room.
Right.
I'm like, a football stadium? What are you on about? Then they managed to lure the alligator down there, shoot it with an RPG.
No, sorry, they didn't lure the alligator. The alligator opened the hatch with its mouth and climbed in.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Aye, good at opening doors.
Mm-hmm.
Then they shoot it with an RPG while they're still in. They don't go outside and shoot it in.
Yeah.
They shoot it when they're inside, and I'm like, there's definitely lots of flammable stuff in a meth lab.
I would imagine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's not the size of a football stadium. Just
no,
clarify again.
No, it was the size of a fucking football changing room, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get the remnants of an RPG, surely?
Well, the guy comes out, so when they shoot it, there's like dust or potentially fucking meth everywhere. Mm. The main guy comes walking through it, covered in sort of a light brown substance, and I'm like, oh, it's going to be he's out his tits now. But they don't follow up on that in any way. But I'm like, it looks like you've got meth all over you. There's also a scene where they try to explain why they can't call for help, because this all happens in an island.
Mm.
Of course, yeah.
And so there's a sort of bit of a recreation of King Kong, where the alligator climbs this big fucking cell tower.
I've seen that in the trailer.
And then it falls down.
Yeah, that looked shocking.
That bit was particularly bad.
Yeah.
There was so many a particularly bad climb film. You're fucking watching this film before next week.
I don't think at all.
Oh, you fucking are.
Who fucking suggested this one?
Squinny.
Fucking hell. Where does he hate us?
I think he was in CEX and he just posted a picture saying this looks like something you would enjoy. And I was like, yes, done. But see, to be fair, see these sort of films, they've got potential to be really funny shit. But I don't know.
It wasn't so bad, it was good, it was just bad.
I don't know what the element was that was missing, do you know what I mean? But
were they trying to be too serious? Because sometimes when it's like this, there's a wee bit tongue-in-cheek, and because of that...
The acting was really terrible, and sometimes that's enough for you to just get enjoyment out of how bad the actors are, but there was a few of them that weren't that bad, they were just... boring, and it was bad,
just not
but it wasn't
good.
Bad no. funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do always wonder, like, from an actor's perspective, like, you know, I get that, you know, there's a sort of rank to climb when you enter that world, and I don't know, I'm just curious with some of these cast members, like, did they think this was going to be a hit, or did they know they were in it for the
they fucking knew.
So bad it's good, or no, were they just trying to get some, you know, I'm curious to know, like, what were they in it for?
Yeah.
This fucking film was made for a fiver and a packet of custard creams. Like, there's no way they thought it was going to be good. Absolutely no way. The funniest part of the whole thing was that you had to watch it all.
Mm-hmm.
Jess, as usual, is she'll start watching it and then about an hour in fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
But because I've been so knackered recently, I fell asleep as well. But being the professional that I am, unlike you two cunts, the next night went, right, I'm gonna watch the last half hour again, and she was still awake, so she had to watch the whole thing.
Look at your face. You're really, so pleased to yourself.
That really did it. That really did it for me.
She had to watch it too.
It's the first time she's finished one of these in a while.
Yes. It was was worth it. It really was.
That's true.
Did we not have a suggestion on next week then? Did you have anything planned before I said Roadhouse?
Well, we're hoping Blood and Honey too.
Right, so if that comes out, we'll watch that.
But if we can't, we'll pivot. Mm. But surely. We've been waiting a year for this.
Yeah. Aye.
They wouldn't let us down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to pie?
One for me.
Yeah, okay, one. I just wanted to confirm that was the case. That yeah.
It was no Far Cry. Oofed.
No.
It was a Far Cry from Far Cry.
Okay. Yeah, make sure you are following us. We'll post out what we're going to watch next week so you can too, Andy. Watch it also.
Yes.
And report back.
Fucking prick. I can't believe it's my birthday week. Oh, right. It's your birthday day, right?
Birthday week. That's how it works. Right. It's over now.
All right. Ended on Wednesday.
Well, it ends on
your weekend.
The birthday week is the lead up to your birthday, then it ends on your birthday.
Right.
That's the birthday week.
Did you put an annual leave, or do you get that thing where you get your birthday
off? I get
off?
My birthday off, and then...
You've saved even more time.
Heather asked me to take the yesterday off as well. So, yesterday?
Monday.
No, today. She asked me, Tuesday was my birthday, so that was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yes.
So she asked me to take today off as well, so I wasn't rushing back to work.
Right.
And then it's the bank holiday anyway, so it's Friday, Monday off, so I might as well take tomorrow off as well, and I've got a long week. 100%. So...
I'm really happy for you. I've worked over 40 hours so far this week.
Good.
In 3 days. No. Over 30 hours.
Well, you don't need to. You just need to draw the line.
Not 40 hours.
Tell them that, no, I've got a family. I need to spend time with them. I've got shit to do. Yes. I've got the shop. I've got cookies to make. I've got food to prepare.
You better fucking turn up with cookies next week. Or some other limited edition Iron Brew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all for this week then.
Yes, I'm going to go for a much needed sleep.
Thanks as always for listening. Hope you enjoyed the episode. And if you've got any comments or feedback, do drop them into us in some shape or form.
Goodbye.
Bye.